Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Four free record on my count. Seven, six, five, four, three, two, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're tuned in. Whatever station you catch us every day or whether it's online, we appreciate you joining us. Great show for you today. Daniel Stewart, former Southern Miss baseball pitcher, about to join us. We'll be talking basketball a little later in the show. And Noah Frary from the Frary and Smith podcast, going to be on the show in the second half hour to talk about a lot of big news breaking today in the Sun Belt Conference. Opening segment of the show sponsored every day by Southern Bank Corp. That is where we broadcast our studio at in both Hattiesburg and Laurel, and we're always glad to do that. Bob and Kelly in the Southern Bank Corp. studio here, Luke in Laurel. Opening segment of the show, as it is every day, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. All right, Golden Eagles back on the road tonight, going down to Shuckers Park for the first time since 2019 to take on Nicholls State. Daniel Stewart, former baseball pitcher for the Golden Eagles, and now, I'm happy to say, with Southern Bank Corp.
Absolutely.
Joins us every week throughout baseball. And let me throw a stat at you, Daniel, and, okay, and you analyze this from Sunday. 17 strikeouts, one walk. Pretty good?
Really good. You know, just looking at how our pitching staff has done, we've done really well. Kept the walks down, really holding batters to pretty respectable averages on their side, and a lot of strikeouts. So can't complain. Coach Ostrander doing a great job with those guys.
He didn't like that one walk. He did tell Kelly and I that yesterday. He would wasn't real happy
any
with
walk
the one
is
walk.
Bad. Any
he doesn't
walk.
Like walks, does
no,
he, Daniel?
No.
No, and I've noticed, too, and I'm sure you have, in this new era of Southern Miss baseball, if you're a relief pitcher and you come in and you walk somebody, chances are you're going to sit on the bench with Coach Oz.
You've got a very short leash, and our staff's pretty deep. So it's like, hey, if you're not being consistent, you're not commanding the zone, your outing's going to be short-lived.
And how big of an advantage is that for a coach to have that kind of depth where he doesn't have to put up with a bad performance?
Well, our guys, look at Chase Adams, Colby Allen, two great middle relievers that we've got, have done really well this year. So really impressed with those guys. So for Coach Ostrander to be able to say, hey, starter got four or five innings, Colby, Chase, y'all go out there and give us 2 to 3. I think they've really got a really good shot of being able to do that this year.
The base hits are not going to kill you, right? No. I mean, that's basically, you make them earn what sure. they get. It's the two or three walks ahead of the hit.
Yeah, it's the two or three walks, then you hit a batter, then there's a wild pitch, and it just kind of like the snowball kind of starts to happen. So if you can stay in the strike zone, you're going to give up hits. That's just inevitable. That's why you got to throw a strike over the plate. It's going to happen. So
early in the season, usually, pitching is ahead of hitting.
Usually.
Because it just takes a while for the hitters to get into their groove. But I'm not sure, Daniel, just looking at this staff, and you alluded to the depth, but the talent, the level of talent, I'm not sure that we're going to see other teams. Now, Coastal has been putting up ridiculous numbers. I think they averaged almost 20 runs a game this past weekend.
Right.
But I'm not sure we're going to see a big disparity of improved hitting if this Southern Miss staff continues to perform the way they have out of the gate.
Yeah, guys are going to warm up as the year goes on. Pitchers will, as well as the hitters. So, and the game's all about adjustment. As the year goes on, the hitters are going to get better. They're going to get used to seeing that 95, 96 mile an hour fastball where they was blowing by them at the first of the year. Now they're hitting it. So the pitchers have to stay on their game. Hitters are going to adjust. It's a whole game of adjustment. So, and that's kind of what you do throughout the whole year, is just to make adjustments as you go.
And the game, people say, well, the thing I like about baseball is that, well, it's never changed. Well, it has a little, in the sense that you're talking about 95 and 96 fastballs when you were throwing it up there at 76, 77, Daniel, right?
Maybe a little faster than that, but okay, not much, to be honest with you. Coach Palmer told me I didn't throw hard enough to throw over the white part of the plate. So, you know, that was true to his form, but he was right.
Or didn't throw hard enough to break a pane of glass. That was the
too,
other thing, right?
That too, yeah. But, you know, nowadays, if you don't throw 92 or 93, it seems like you're throwing slow. But you look at, you know, guys like Billy Oldham. He's 88 to 90, very successful. Of course, we got a guy like J.B. Middleton throwing 95, 96 too. So, you know, pitching's not all about speed.
Arguably, which is a tough word, obviously, for me to say, Greg Maddux,
right,
best pitcher in modern baseball, in my opinion, never threw very hard.
Never did, never do. But he could throw the ball to whatever spot he wanted, and it ran about 8 to 12 inches when it did that. So, command of the strike zone.
All right, Luke, get in here with Daniel.
Daniel, we saw in this week's rotation, Sibley out, Armistead in. Sibley came in and mm-hmm. did a good job out of the pen. Armistead, 16 strikeouts, one walk in his first nine innings.
Yeah.
That is, of course, a plus to the weekend rotation. What would be the negative of not having a lefty in the weekend rotation?
You know, lefties just seem to kind of always give other teams a different look. Take a guy like Sibley. He kind of throws across his body, not your typical three-quarter over the top like a lot of your right-handed pitchers do. There seems to be a lot more right-handed hitters, and, you know, a guy like Sibley's got a good slider, kind of breaks right over the top of their feet, kind of pitch over or swing over the ball. But, you know, coaches like to give teams different looks. You got good righty, good lefty. Create those matchups that are disadvantageous, another hard word maybe,
yeah.
to the opposing hitters. And, you know, the way we sit right now, it looks like we're going to have three righties because it looks like Armistead's earned that Sunday spot.
And with that said, though, you do have three lefty bullpen arms. Best started last week, mm-hmm. but you feel like he could possibly be a longer relief option, Sibley. Mm-hmm. And then Ben Riley Flowers has put in some good work as well. So if you start three righties over the weekend, you could certainly bring those guys in for multiple innings and give that, what you said, that contrasting look.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Flowers looked really good, just got a couple of bad breaks. We know Sibley's, you know, capable of putting together three or four strong innings. So, you know, Best, is, I think, is coming off those injuries and trying to work him back in. So we can get those guys firing on all cylinders. We're going to have a tough combo.
And talk about the back end, because what English, Middleton, and Payne look like, I thought, you know, what 2022 looked like on the back end was mm-hmm. ferocious. But, I mean, this looks just the same.
Yeah, it looks really good. I think Middleton's going to be the guy, but, you know, he's – maybe not always going to be, you know, he might need a rest one night. You know, they might call on him for two innings on a Friday, and he might not be able to go on that Saturday. So you're going to need somebody to step up and be that, fill that closer role. So, but like you said, we've got three guys that could potentially fill that spot for us. So we're looking really good.
And that's the only downside to really not having an easy game somewhere along the way. So that if some of your guys do need some rest, they can. You know, when you're playing East Bufu State, who's terrible, you know,
right.
You don't have to use those guys. But when you have this schedule that they've put together, heck, every night is tough.
Every night, yeah. You know, that's why you do all your preparation prior to the season, all your conditioning, because they're going to have these stretches where you're not going to get a lot of rest. You're not going to get a lot of breaks, and you got to be able to go out there and compete every time.
All right, does this surprise you? Coach Oz told us yesterday, and I think the exact words he said is, here's a warning. You're going to see a lot of arms tomorrow night, and he's going to start Cole Boswell, but I get the feeling this is going to be one of those every inning he's going to rotate a pitcher, and that tells me that he's continuing at this point of the year to get in his mind who my guys are.
Yeah, well, you've got to put the guys in to see who's going to compete, who's going to do well, similar to what they did against UNO last Tuesday. I think maybe ran five or six pitchers out there. Boswell was one of those guys, and I think he got roughed up a little bit, but he's capable. He's a transfer from Meridian Community College, my alma mater as well, West Lauderdale. So know he's been coached up well, know what he's capable of. But yeah, we're going to see a few guys out there tonight.
Does that bother you at this point of the year? It's almost like, yeah, we want to win. And obviously they want to win games. But right now I get the impression for Coach Oz, getting these guys sorted out in his mind is just as important as the outcome of these early midweek games.
Yeah, I mean, they're still going to try to win. You know, don't get Coach Oz wrong there. But
right.
There has to be the innings pitch. You've got to get those innings under your belt, get some confidence, get some comfortability out on the mound, kind of learn your spot. And, there's no situation like the actual game situation to figure out who's going to do well, who's not.
When you have a particular craft in this place, we're talking pitching, you have to use it.
Got to use it.
Right? So you can't just sit around, in the bullpen saying, and pitch every 12 days and expect those guys to be sharp. So I would expect this to happen, get these guys work.
Yeah, and if you didn't get a chance to pitch in the weekend, you're sitting around going, man, I really want to get my chance to earn it. Well, here's your chance. Go out there and throw one or two good innings, and you're really going to show everybody what you can do.
Former Gold Eagle pitcher Daniel Stewart's in the studio with us here. Ironically, the Southern Bank Corps studio.
That's right.
Right here in Oak Grove. We're going to continue our conversation on the other side of the break. Going to hear from a player. It's an interesting interview, and then we'll get Daniel's take on how kids like this are important to a baseball team. Hang on.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart at campusbookmart.net. Miss Kathleen, the best. She's there 7 days a week. And by the way, Campus Bookmart is looking for part-time help. So if you want a great part-time job working for a princess of a lady, stop by Campus Bookmart down on Hardy Street. Talk to Miss Kathleen. And again, some good part-time opportunity there at Campus Bookmart and Campus Bookmart.
And if you're a psychologist, I'm looking for full-time help.
Well, there's no help for you, Kelly, but Kathleen could actually okay. use that.
All right.
All right, as we continue our conversation with Daniel Stewart, Golden Eagles probably leaving any minute now to go down to the Gulf Coast. A few days ago, I had an opportunity to spend a little time with Brady Faust, who is a senior player on the Golden Eagle baseball team. I'm bringing you this interview. And then I want to talk about Brady for a minute with Daniel and the guys and the importance of kids like Brady Faust to a program like the Southern Miss baseball team. All right, Brady Faust on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Brady, you've been around this program a while. Very curious to get your observation of all these new faces and how the team is different than the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of new guys, a lot of new faces, like you said, but I think the culture is going to carry us through all these changes and everything. There's a tradition of excellence here, and the people that have come before us and the guys that we still have here, they know what it takes, and we're just going to build it up. And there might be some growing pains here and there, but I think ultimately we'll really get it figured out and we'll get going.
I think everyone that follows the program closely expected a little bit of a growing situation here early with all of the new faces. But how confident do you remain that you guys can play to the level you've played the last few years?
Yeah, I'm very confident. Like I said, there's a tradition of excellence here, and we've got a lot of talent on this team. It might not have shown yet. The chemistry's not quite there yet, but we showed all fall, all spring, there's tons of talent on this team. There's tons of guys that aren't quite yet comfortable, aren't doing what they're going to be able to do this year. And like I said, I think it'll start clicking soon, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later.
And then the legend retires. Oz takes over. How different has that been, Brady?
Honestly, not much has changed. Oz, there's not a ton of turnover with that. Oz was under Barry for a while, and Barry still shows his face. His presence is still around. It's good to see him. But, there's a little bit of difference, but not much.
Do you think the overall approach to the game will be different under Oz than under Scott?
I don't see much of a difference, no. I think it's going to be a lot of the same, you know. I think that's kind of just the culture. The culture hasn't changed here at all, and what we do is going to stay what we do.
What's your ride been like here? You guys finished in the top 10 of every poll last year, two back-to-back regional champions. That's high, lofty stuff, Brady.
Yeah, I mean, it's been incredible, you know. I've been a part of a lot of great teams here, you know, seen a lot of baseball, and, I mean, it's been awesome. You know, the atmosphere's nothing like anywhere else. I wouldn't have rather been anywhere else than my whole career.
All right, well, best of luck to you and your teammates this year.
Thank you.
All right, Daniel, Brady Fowle, senior player, reserve player for 4 years. They brought him in to bunt a few times so far this year. He's a base runner. He's not a kid that's going to go out and start and play nine innings very often, but those kind of players, and I'm sure you played with some, they're a big part of the team and very important. Where is the role for a kid like Brady Fowle, and how does he help the Golden Eagle team?
Well, just listening to him talk, you can hear the positivity in his voice. And, you know, as fans, it's easy to look and say, you know, we know these guys on the baseball field, but, you know, the team they live together. They work out together. They practice together. They eat together. They go to class together. So guys like Brady, constantly positive day in, day out, whether they're playing or not. He talked about culture. That breeds that culture to where he's talking about chemistry, building that chemistry. So he might not be on the field, but he is an integral part to that team to make them great.
Yeah, Luke, kids like Brady Fowle, important.
Yeah, because they know their role, and they have accepted that role. And, I mean, how many times last year was the first pinch runner off the bench? We all knew who it was going to be, right?
Right.
We knew it was going to be Brady Fowle. And I was just looking back at his career numbers. So, in 2022, he played in 28 games. Last year, he played in 25. So far this year, he's already played. Is that my soundtrack? Yeah. I like it.
There you go.
So far this year in the eight games, he's played in five. So, I mean, these are the ability to have guys like him that know their role and have the ability, you know, to execute it. I just really think that I'm fond of that song, whatever's playing in the background.
I'm playing it for you, Luke.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Anyway, when I played football, same thing. Guys knew their role. They accepted their role. They did their role, and it made the team better.
Kelly?
The ring that he gets – for region championship.
It's the same ring everybody else has got, right?
It looks exactly like it. You know, Oak Grove High School, right up the road here, there's a famous trivia question. You know, who at Oak Grove has won more state championship rings than anybody else? And you're thinking, well, Chris McArdle, the baseball coach, he's got, you know, three, and Neville Barr's got one, and, you know, Coach Causey. It's not. It's a guy named B-Funk that they call, who's kind of the spiritual leader of all those teams. Because he's the spiritual leader for the football team, the baseball team. So B-Funk has them. So it's guys that you don't hear about lots of times that are seemingly a lot more important than you might think.
That's true.
But, Daniel, we're eight games in, but as you observe this baseball team compared to last year's or the year before, I think I'm really, really optimistic. What is your thought?
You know, eight games in, we're 6-2. We played a tough Missouri State team this past weekend. Our pitchers faced Zach Stewart, batting .429 on the year, three home runs. Really tough competition. So I don't want to get too optimistic. I think there's still a lot of progress that needs to be made. Mainly, you know, the bats have to wake up a little bit. But you look at kind of how this year is going versus how some of the previous years have gone. You know, we've been not 6-2, 5-3, 4-4, you know. So having, you know, six wins, eight games in, I'm feeling really good. Just trying not to get too optimistic.
It comes down to the I word, guys. Injuries.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you look at the Southern Miss basketball team, for example. I mean, they got starters dropping, you know, right and left because of injury. I mean, but as deep as this pitching staff is, you can afford – you don't want one, of course, but you can afford one here.
We're
or there.
Playing really good defense.
Yeah.
Our pitchers are pitching really well. We've got some timely hittings. Freshman Seth Smith's got two doubles on the year of his three hits. Both have been produced runs that have gotten us – the win.
And we've said before the season started, the guys on the team say that they think if Seth Smith develops the way that they think he can, he could very well, not me saying this, players saying this, that he could very well be the best baseball player to ever play at Southern Miss.
His dad was one of the smoothest infielders I'd ever seen in my life. And so I know he comes from good stock. So that's good to hear.
Let me throw out another name that, guys, I think we're gonna go wow over the next couple of years is Gillespie out of Birmingham.
Yeah, he's a young guy too, right? Yeah, freshman. So you got some pop. Gillespie on
got some pop.
he's hitting 222, but as a team, we're hitting 212. But somebody's got a ton of potential, so yeah, it's going to be fun.
He almost
to watch.
Knocked the top of the new scoreboard off this weekend with a home run. I mean, Daniel, smacked the scoreboard.
Daniel, I need to object to something that was just said. I thought you and I had already decided that Kevin Coker was the greatest baseball player to ever play at the University of Southern Miss.
Kevin Coker's probably the greatest guy to ever play at Southern Miss for baseball. Love Coker to death.
Gave it all, right?
Gave
with
it
a
all.
Straight finger and left with a crooked one, right?
That's He did that. Yeah. You know, I still to this day hear stories about Kevin Coker, so that speaks for itself.
That I'll tell y'all Coker stories from but it's what happens is when you make a statement like that, for people to make a statement like that, and I hope it comes true. I mean, you already look at, we were discussing the other day, Bob, you know, at the remote with Coach Denson, you know, we were talking about Tommy Davis and we were talking about other guys that sometimes get forgotten. You know, Daniel, before you and I got on campus, there was crazy good players that had already come through, and just seems like every decade they just, you know, continue more and more through Southern Miss baseball.
Yeah, you know we're going to attract talent at USM. How many 40 win seasons do we have in a row? I know it leads the country.
At least seven or eight.
Yeah. So we are going to be able to attract a quality baseball player. We're going to be able to build a quality team.
And if you don't have a lot of NIL money, that's what's going to attract the players. Is they know they come here, they have a chance to win at a high level.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, back when I was in the late 90s playing high school baseball, the thought that kind of went around high school guys was, man, I got to go to a Mississippi State. I got to go Ole Miss, or I won't get any exposure.
Yeah,
that's
no
changed.
Longer.
That's changed.
No
Southern Miss, Tulane's great.
After last weekend, the guys wanting to go to Ole Miss are saying, I got to go to High Point.
Well, you know, Mississippi State got swept by Austin Peay, I think, this past.
That's right.
You know, now, a few years removed from a national championship, you know, right. that carries you a pretty good ways. But baseball is competitive across the board. Yeah. You know,
did that hurt your feelings to see State get swept by Austin Peay?
Not at all. No.
Maybe.
Not at all.
Seven years in a row plus 40.
Yeah. There we go.
Daniel, we appreciate it, man. Look forward to having you every week.
Hey, great to be here.
Daniel
Thank you.
Stewart on the Eagle Hour. When we come back, Noah Frary from Frary and Smith Podcast. Hang on.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, don't forget you can hear the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. I want to say hello to our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans are beautiful, and their SUVs are the finest on the road today. Coming soon, and it's really nice, the all-new Genesis Showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Appreciate all that Genesis of Hattiesburg does with Super Talk Mississippi. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. And in this segment, we're happy to welcome Noah Frary of the Frary and Smith podcast back to the Eagle Hour. Noah, always good to hear from you. And a lot of news breaking this week in the conference. And let's start with the transfer of the big star quarterback in Sun Belt football.
Yeah, guys, first and foremost, it's always fun to be on the show. But, yeah, let's talk the big transfer news that came out just earlier today. I mean, this news was broke about 4 hours ago, and that's Sun Belt Player of the Year Jordan McLeod from James Madison has announced his intentions to transfer to Texas State to go play for G.J. Kinney in that high-powered offense. This is huge. I mean, this is a Texas State program that obviously you come into the offseason, you've got T.J. Finley, you're feeling pretty good. Then they kind of had the faux pas of bringing in Jaden Delora. Obviously, he's no longer with the program after the fan backlash. And then you go out and land Jordan McLeod all in the span of about 30 days. So, obviously, bringing in Jordan McLeod is huge for Texas State. And in a Sun Belt West that feels pretty wide open, suddenly you could say that Texas State might be the team to beat as we look ahead to 2024.
I was just going to say that's not good news for Southern Miss, Noah.
Yeah, it probably isn't. I think we just saw earlier today that Southern Miss is in the midst of a four-individual quarterback battle. It seems like that's what we've come to expect over the last couple of years, although I will say I'm hopeful about some of the quarterbacks that Will Hall has to work with this year. So maybe this will be the year that Southern Miss finally finds their quarterback and they go from being a quarterback away to having a true QB1.
So while Kelly, we were going to play him anyway. We were going to have to go to James Madison. So you were going to play McLeod anyway. So you can look at it that way.
Well, yeah, but the West. I mean, if you're going to play for the title, you got to win your division. So that, but I mean,
this is Noah, and again, just to help me understand it, you're talking about the best team in the East, the best quarterback. This would be the equivalent of, let's just look at last year, maybe like a Jackson Dart or Jaden Daniels going to like Kentucky or South Carolina. I mean that's how it would work in some ways. I know the geography's backwards.
Yeah, I mean it's a fascinating kind of decision. I mean obviously when Kirk Cignetti announced that he was heading to Indiana, Jordan McLeod quickly went into the transfer portal, still ended up playing in the bowl game, and I think that the intention had probably been to go play at a Power 5 school, and I'm not sure those offers ever came. I know that there was an academic issue that seems to have been sorted out at this point, so yeah, it doesn't necessarily, I think make a ton of sense to the naked eye, but I think that maybe the options that Jordan thought he would have in the transfer portal weren't necessarily there. So then he lands at Texas State, which is a place that I think will really showcase his talents. They've been looking for more of a dual threat quarterback than T.J. Finley was. So, yeah, I think the calculus clearly changed at James Madison when Kurt Cignetti left. Jordan McLeod, from the sources I've talked to, wasn't very open to the idea of staying at James Madison for this next season. So then the choice became to head to Texas State, and that's what he's done at this point.
And now it looks like the Bobcats' football future is at least rock solid for the time being, but not so with Old Dominion basketball. Headline number 2, tell us what's going on at Old Dominion.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Jones announces his retirement, yesterday from, after he had suffered a heart attack earlier on in the season. Obviously, a super unfortunate decision, and he now chooses to retire at the age of 63 after, 11 years at Old Dominion. So you hate to see Jeff Jones go. That's, obviously super unfortunate for Old Dominion, but they have been in the midst of a very challenging season. Kieran Donahue is going to continue to lead this program at least through the remainder of this season and into Pensacola for the Sun Belt Tournament. And then it will be interesting to see where Old Dominion goes. This is a job that I think a lot of people are going to be very interested in. They lead the league in attendance almost yearly. They're, one of the biggest draws in Norfolk. And so I think that this is going to be a job that a lot of people are going to be interested in, and Old Dominion definitely will have a lot of good candidates come, postseason after they begin to look for a new head coach.
And actually, Noah, I've heard you say in other, different formats and whatnot that you think, and of course it's America, we can all have opinions, but you think the Old Dominion job is probably the best job in basketball in the Sun Belt, yes?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it has the opportunity to be the best. I'm not going to say, right here on, February 27th that it is the best job. But I think when you look at the recruiting base that's generally in that area, and I think the transfer portal has created some really interesting elements, maybe, highly recruited kids that, went to Power Fives now looking to come home. I think that there's a huge recruiting base there, obviously. The fan support is incredible. I mean, they average over 5,000 to 6,000 fans per game, and that's actually down from years ago when they were closer to 8,000 per game. So you're going to have the fan support. You have a pretty substantial alumni base and administration that, you know, obviously is clearly willing to support basketball. You have to look no farther than the new basketball gym that they're playing in. So I think there's a lot of really good things at Old Dominion, and you could go read. There's a great article that Shane Metlin, who covers James Madison, but he wrote recently a kind of a job profile about this Old Dominion job, and he echoed a lot of, you know, what, you know, others are saying too about, you know, how valuable this job could be for someone in the future.
And finally, the final headline out of Georgia State in Atlanta, where after they lost their head football coach to a position job in the SEC, the Panthers have a new head football coach.
Yeah, this one, you know, is big news, and I think it's something that a lot of people in the Sun Belt took notice of. Del McGee is going to be the new head football coach at Georgia State after Sean Elliott obviously departs for the position coach job at South Carolina. But he brings in just a ton of recruiting experience. He was on Kirby Smart's staff the last couple of years during this, you know, run that Georgia has had. He was the running backs coach there, and you know, I think from talking to people who are around that program at Georgia State, one of the biggest things that I think people had struggled with Sean Elliott is he was kind of one foot in, one foot out. He lived in Columbia, South Carolina on the weekends. He and his staff oftentimes bragged about being done at a certain time on Fridays so that Coach Elliott could go and, you know, watch his son play football on Friday nights in high school. And you can't blame him. I mean, it's family. I think many of us would, you know, do the same types of things. But I think this is a huge get for Georgia State. They have a unique opportunity, and my co-host Caden Smith on the podcast that we do talks about it all the time, is the recruiting base and the athletes in the state of Georgia is extremely ripe for the taking. No, you're not going to land the 4- and 5-star guys, but there's plenty of 3-star guys, you know, high 2-star guys, that if you're willing to do the work, you can land. And, you know, the previous staff at Georgia State, they didn't do a great job at, you know, recruiting the metro Atlanta area. Del McGee's going to come in and do that. And, you know, I think the other point here, too, and my co-host Caden mentioned it the other day, Del McGee is going to be the second African-American head coach in this league. And in a city of Atlanta where, with a very diverse culture, I think Del McGee is a slam-dunk hire for Georgia State. And, you know, this is a coach that I think could very easily, if he starts to get some recruiting wins like he's known for, could turn this Georgia State team into a consistent 7-8 win team in the Sun Belt East.
Luke Johnson, Noah Furry with the Furry and Smith podcast on the Eagle Hour.
Yeah, Noah, you mentioned, and I'm thankful you brought up the issue or the component to Elliott leaving. We saw, you know, Kane Womack going from a head coach to the defensive coordinator at Alabama. That and maybe Chip Kelly, more the same, but the Elliott was more of a family deal. And I think a lot of people may make a good point of saying, you know, better to be a P5 coordinator than a G5 coach or a P4 coordinator now. But I think some of those situations were almost unique to that specific situation.
Yeah, no, Luke, I think you're spot on here. There's been 5 new head coaches in the Sun Belt this year, and I think each one of them is a unique situation. I mean, Kurt Cignetti gets the opportunity to go coach at a Power 5 team in Indiana. You mentioned Kane Womack. You mentioned Sean Elliott. So, yeah, I think each situation is slightly different. I think it is alarming to see just the number of head coaches that have departed the league this year. I mean, it's almost 40% of the league's head coaches, 5 out of the 14 will not be here for 2024. But, you know, to your point, I think, and you don't have to look very far, you could go read an article that was put out by Yahoo Sports just a week ago of Will Hall mentioning how challenging it is to be a head coach in these day and age. So I do think this is a trend, perhaps at the Group of Five level, that you might see more and more of in the future, people leaving for position coaching jobs. Because let's be honest, as a Group of Five head coach right now, the quality of life is not great. You're having to recruit year-round. You're having to try to maintain your roster, and you're having to compete against NIL collectives that, you know, are much larger. So life as a Group of Five head coach is not exactly great right now, and I think it has a lot of people in the industry starting to rethink the path towards future success.
All right, Noah, we appreciate your input. I look forward to having you back on the Eagle Hour really soon.
Guys, always enjoy it, and have a good rest of your day.
Noah Furry, everybody. Furry and Smith podcast on the show tomorrow. Lady Eagle basketball on the road. We're going to be talking to Malia Grayson and Lonnie Cornfield tomorrow. Heath Hinton's going to join us as well. Coach Will Hall on the show Thursday to talk about spring football. Also, Andrew Abadie, Patrick McGee, Dima Mixon. lots of stuff coming up.
And still no room for Beyonce.
I turned her down.
Okay.
I don't really like her anymore.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on a Tuesday brought to you by D-Bat in Hattiesburg. Great facilities, batting cages, pro shop, instruction. It's all on Hardy Street. DBatHattiesburg.com. Luke, Bob, and Kelly from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, appreciate Noah Frary from the Frary Smith Podcast joining us. Big news in Sunbelt today. If you missed that, you can go back and listen, as well as Daniel Stewart's expertise, we should say, and visiting with us in studio. All that you can find later on demand at supertalk.fm or Eagle Hour, of course, in podcast form. Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Audible, or you can ask Alexa to play the Supertalk Eagle Hour. Golf makes a trip to Puerto Rico, plays two rounds. The third round, the final round, got washed out. Man, tough. Southern Miss Golf finishes 12th out of 17 teams. Ryan Dupuis and Bennett Ruby both finish tied for 28th overall. A couple more news and notes. Southern Miss sophomore, rising sophomore, Rebecca Vega, selected to the Venezuelan under-20 national team. She had already played for the under-23 team. And she will play along with her fellow country women in Venezuela from April 11th till May 5th for maybe a shot at the under-20 Women's World Cup later this year in Colombia. Austin Crowley named a Howell Trophy finalist for the second consecutive season. He's averaging a career-best 16.2 points per game and a second in the Sun Belt with 17.7 points per game in conference play. Matt Morrell of Ole Miss, Josh Hubbard of Mississippi State, the other two finalists. The winner will be selected Monday, March 11th at the Golden Moon Casino. So Austin Crowley, a Howell Trophy finalist. Of course, baseball tonight down on the coast at the Shuckers Park. Southern Miss throwing Cole Boswell out of West Lauderdale High School. First pitch at 6 p.m. against Nicholls State. Finally, football opened today. A kickoff for spring. 29 new Golden Eagles today, as well as two new coordinators, Chip Long on offense, Clay Bignell on defense. Some of our good friends on Twitter, like Andrew Abbott, Demon Mixon, got some videos of the four quarterbacks. This is Will Hall saying today, this is an open competition with Billy Wiles, Tate Rodemaker, Ethan Crawford, and true freshman John White. And when you look at, man, this spring schedule, remember how Will likes to spread it out? We'll ask you more later this week. Two practices this week, two next week. They'll take a week off for spring break. And then the last 2 weeks in March, they'll have three practices and two practices. And then in April, two practices, the spring game on April 6th, and then remember, he always does practices after the spring game for learning. So Southern Miss football, spring football today. Get started.
All right, Daniel, we're glad to have you in the studio, man. Really appreciate you chipping in here with your analysis as we move through this baseball season. You probably know by now, but this crew around here, we live for baseball season.
Oh, I know you do.
We love us some Southern Miss baseball.
Look, now this Nicholls bunch is 7-1, right?
Look who they played.
I don't know who have they
played. St. Mary's and I don't know. People I've never heard of. I mean, that may not mean anything, but I see why. Still, I don't think it means anything.
They haven't
anything.
Played High Point, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and Daniel, if you're pitching a different kid every inning and you're really just trying to get some of your young kids on the field to pitch, well, heck, anything could happen.
Anything could happen. Yeah, you never know. But I know these guys are still going to try to win no matter who's out there. So, yeah.
But that's the thing I think that a lot of people like about baseball is that, I mean, take college football, for example. I mean, if you're Alabama or Georgia, regardless of who you're playing, there's a 90% chance you're going to win that game.
Yeah.
You can play poorly and still win.
You never know in baseball, do you, Kelly?
You know, small school baseball team can have a great pitcher and go in and beat anybody. So that's the great thing about baseball.
Yeah, so when you look at the tournament at the end of the year, the field of the different regionals, and you see some of these schools and you're going, now, where are they from?
Yeah.
You know, that's the good thing about baseball.
Is Nichols is 7-0, or 7-1. Only loss was last Tuesday at Tulane in Turchin Stadium, 3-2.
Yeah. Daniel, real quickly, about a minute left, there was a moment over the weekend when it appeared that Billy Odom had struck out the big home run hitter for Missouri State, and the ump called it ball four.
Mm.
And Oz stopped the game, and he went out to the mound, and it became really clear he was not leaving the mound until the official came out. And then he gave the official, I won't repeat what he said, to him, but let's say he expressed his unhappiness. Did you ever see Corky do anything like that?
A time or two, yeah, I think so. Prior to me coming to Southern Miss, it was also Coach Palmer without Coach Berry. So from what I hear, Coach Berry had a very unique way of keeping Coach Palmer and his emotions in check. Mm-hmm. So they were a good combo. But, yeah, a few times I heard Coach Palmer get a little upset.
So Scott was the good cop. Corky was the bad cop.
Well, I know whenever I got pulled in pitching, I'd tell the coach I'm not tired, and he'd say, well, you might not be, but our outfielders are exhausted.
Third pitch of the game. He doesn't have it. It's over. Quit. I'm going to the bus.
He never got on you, did he, Daniel?
A time or two. It was probably well-deserved chewing that I got.
But any further comment will have to come from the president, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Daniel, thank you for coming by.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Daniel Stewart, he'll be with us every week through this glorious baseball season that we're all enjoying so much. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock, as always. Thank you very much for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top. Keeps on slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.